I invite you to be with me now in a spirit of prayer. Loving God, as we set time apart to worship today on Good Friday, we feel stuck in the darkness of the unknown. Grief blinds us, sadness disorients us, and though the light of the resurrection is coming, it feels too far away to see. God, give us the strength and the courage to be still, to sit with, to sit in, to sit through this sacred darkness. Help us to be present and tuned in to Christ's reality, yes, but also to our own, as we too face disorienting days. May this time of quiet darkness and reflection be a time of cleansing and healing, as we dare to open up and explore those parts of our innermost selves that hurt, that ache, that cry out for the light of your hope. Be with us now, O God, wherever we are, as we worship, as we reflect, as we remember. Amen.
On that first Good Friday, Jesus hung on the cross for 3 hours, from noon until 3 p.m. For many years, St. John's hosted a Good Friday service that lasted for 3 hours, during which the 7 words or phrases Jesus uttered while hanging on the cross were lifted up and reflected upon. In recent years, the service has been shortened in length, but that in no way diminishes the importance of what happened on this day long ago. Today we will not attempt to reflect on all 7 of the things Jesus said, but instead have chosen to reflect on the words that grabbed our hearts and spoke to us most deeply at this point in time. To give our reflections a context, let me remind you of all that Jesus said while on the cross. The first words out of his mouth were, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Then Jesus cried out using the words of the psalmist, my God, why have you forsaken me?" A bit later, he looked at his mother and said, "Woman, behold your son." Then looked at the disciple who is identified as the one Jesus loved and said to John, "Behold your mother." He turned to the penitent thief hanging on the cross next to him and said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." And then a bit later, "I thirst. It is finished. And finally, into your hands I commend my spirit."
We pick up in the story in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 23, verse 32. Two others also who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing, and the people stood by watching. But the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who was hanged there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. I have noticed that these days, we have all gotten pretty creative about how we answer the question, how are you? Realizing that it's hard to sum up exactly how we are doing 1 year into a global pandemic. I have heard a lot of hanging in there and doing all right, all things considered. But one response has stuck out to me recently. A colleague of mine, whenever he is asked how he's doing, always replies with a smile on his face, "Just another day in paradise." I've heard him say it several times in the midst of Zoom call introductions, and at first, his response sort of shocked me. Paradise? What about this is paradise? And sure, there's a little sarcasm in his voice, but only a little. I've been thinking a lot about paradise lately. We often think it's a place you cruise to, or a place where there are no cares in the world, where the sun always shines, where our needs are met in lavish and extravagant ways, a place where we want for nothing. But that's all awfully hard to swallow as I hear my friends speak of paradise in the middle of one of the most trying years of our life. And it's even harder to swallow as we remember Jesus' words to the criminals who hung beside him, uttered with failing breath and sour wine on his lips. "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom," one of the men says. "Don't worry, I will remember you," Christ assures. "Today you will join me in paradise." More shocking words. What about this scene, this cross, this crucified Savior, this Good Friday that from where we sit today is anything but good? What about it feels like paradise? Unlike my clergy colleague, I don't believe there was an ounce of sarcasm in Christ's voice as he spoke of paradise to the men hanging beside him. You see, Jesus knew that paradise isn't a place where nothing bad ever happens, or where the sky never grows dark, or where suffering ceases to exist. He knew that it isn't all about perpetually good feelings and ultimate comfort and luxury. Jesus sees what we cannot yet see, that paradise is where and wherever God dwells. A higher place, a sacred place, the holiest place, a place like Golgotha, a place like the very cross where Jesus died. That paradise is what Christ lived and died to redefine and to open up to us, that we might know and feel in new and very real ways the place in which God dwells, that God might feel close by, not some far-off fantasy, the divine equivalent of a destination vacation, but a God who moves into our neighborhood, sets up shop in the middle of the pain and the suffering and the tragedy, and calls it paradise, not because it's perfect, but because God's love is made perfect in the midst of it. Author Anne Lamott says that we are Easter people living in a Good Friday world. Indeed we are, and indeed it is. A world that is suffering and that is sacred ground, hurting and holy, horrific and hope-filled. A paradise, not where all is idyllic, but where God dwells with us in it. If we dare to lean all the way in, to dwell with Christ, we will rise with Christ. If we remember Christ, we will be remembered by Christ. And if we dare to sit in the center of this pain, We will sit with Christ in paradise, even now. So no, it's not just another day in paradise. And as we seek to be present in this Good Friday day, and indeed this Good Friday world, may we not lose vision of the importance of these moments. May we not lose vision of this version of paradise. As we suffer with Christ, as we contemplate what it means to worship a Savior who died a criminal's death, and as we, Easter people, hold on to the light of hope. Amen.